Okay, I am recording.
Is Dr. Q on? I'm sorry.
Yes.
Down in the bottom.
Okay. We're ready.
Thank you. Got a low profile today. So. I am calling the February 11th, 2022 meeting of the Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners to order at 1:30.
Barbara, do we still have Justin on the phone?
Justin
Larson has joined the meeting.
There he is.
Well, that answered your question.
Okay.
All right. Do I need a do-over, or are we good?
No, okay. I think we're good. I apologize. I was on the video, but it was acting up, so I turned my phone.
Okay. Well, it was nice to see your face.
Yeah. So,
all right. So the meeting is called to order. On behalf of the board, welcome to all of you attending the meeting this afternoon. We're going to begin with line item 2, which is our roll call. Ms. Whiteford?
Barbara Paulson.
Present.
Charlene Marbs.
Present.
Chris Daly.
Present.
Quentin McAllister.
Present.
And then office staff, Karen Whiteford, present. Vicki Igarola.
Present.
And our assistant attorney general, Justin Larson.
Present.
Great. Moving on to line item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have any to report?
I have one. Shelby Voorhees is a renewal. Code of renewal. And I'd like to additionally note that I do have a time constraint of 2:45. I have an appointment I have to attend to that I wasn't able to move.
Okay. Thank you for that, Dr. McAllister.
And I'm sorry, Mr. McAllister, what was the name of the renewal?
Shelby Voorhees.
Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Moving on to line item 4, our future board meetings. As previously noted, I will not be attending the March meeting. Are we looking for April and May at this point? Good?
No conflicts as of yet for me.
Great. All right, moving on to line item 5, I have a question for our executive director. Would it be procedurally correct to skip this line item and to address it in line item 14?
Oh, yes. So we can you can table it and then remind me or remind Vicki.
Charlene Marr has joined the meeting.
Okay. All right. So we will, at this time, table line item 5, which is review of meeting minutes. That moves us on to line item 6, where we're looking at complaint investigations and compliance, line item 6A1. I hope I pronounced it. Is a complaint. It's a review of a complaint against, is it Fahidra Antioco?
Yes, it's Phaedra Antioco.
Phaedra, okay. I wasn't sure on that one. Thank you for that.
And Madam Chair, Ms. Antioco is represented by counsel.
Okay. Thank you so much, Ms. Whiteford.
Okay. So this is an initial review of the complaint alleging that Ms. say your last name again. Antioco?
Antioco.
Antioco, okay. Alleging that Ms. Antioco's, quote, methods and treatments have been damaging to a client's well-being while providing occupational therapy services. A quick recap is that these services began on March 28th in 2020 and ended on March 15th, 2020 at the client's request. The complainants addressed four issues in the complaint, being manipulation and psychological manipulation, miscommunication and inconsistency, giving medical advice and breaking HIPAA, and tarnishing and attacking a fellow therapist. So I believe the client is also online.
Yes, we are.
Okay, so that's Ms. Seaman and Mr. Van Denbrink, yes?
That's correct.
All right. This complaint was multiple pages, and I'm thinking at this time the board may have some questions to ask.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members, this is Justin Larson with the AG's office. Just, you know, as a procedural step, you might want to just allow each side, both the complainant and the respondent and her and or her counsel, to okay. just give like a brief presentation.
Okay, thank you so much, Mr. Larson.
And we do need the name of the counsel representing Ms. Antioco.
Yeah.
Krista Laveras, KRYSTA, last name Laveras, LI, E as in Victor, ERIS as in Sam, and I did provide a notice of appearance letter yesterday via email.
True.
Okay. So, I invite the complainants, Ms. Seaman and Mr. Van de Brink, to make a brief statement.
Sure.
Okay.
Let's join the meeting.
So, it's been 2 years ago, and some of the details are still very vivid to us, especially the manipulation that occurred where Pedro Antioco engaged in making Regina very dependent on her instead of focusing on being independent, and claiming that my wife wasn't doing enough to get better. She kept saying, "You're not doing enough, you're not opening up enough," when we gave her every bit of information to let her help us. And that was very psychologically damaging to my wife, and also all the promises that Phaedra Antioco made to us, and they were all empty promises. In the end, my wife is still suffering. That's why she's not really talking. She's still in a lot of pain. And we kept pursuing this because we believe in our hearts that Pedra has been misusing her position, and also making false statements about another therapist that actually has been helping us, and we feel that that was very damaging for a person in her position.
Thank you for that. Ms. Antioco, or your representative, would you like to go next?
This is a new experience for me, so please be patient. I've been an OT for over 22 years.
Okay, I'm sorry, can I interrupt you real quick? For the recording, could you state your name? Because the people who listen to this won't know who's talking.
Sure, it's Phaedra Antioco. Mm-hmm. And I've been an occupational therapist for over 22 years. I'm very passionate about my career. And I care about Regina. And it came on when we first started, I believe, it was March 28th. And if you remember, on March 15th, Governor Ducey had shut down basically all of Arizona. And hospitals were a scary place to go. Now, I will say, if we look at the end of our contract together, working together, it was around May 20th. And Regina was diagnosed finally with high intracranial pressure. I had asked the couple repeatedly to look into going to the hospital. I offered calling. I called the satellite Dignity Health to see if the emergency room would accept her to be safe, and they didn't take me up on that recommendation. I also went as far as calling the emergency room at one of the top trauma hospitals, St. Joseph's. I got through to the ER nurse's station, mind you, in March and April 2020 when COVID was just starting. I asked if her husband would be allowed to go with her to support her in, and they would not. So during this time, I want you just to consider what the patient was going through. And my heart was really, really, I mean, my heart felt for her. So I went above and beyond. And what happened was she ended up having high intracranial pressure. I was receiving texts at all hours of the night with her blood pressure going up as high as 170 over 100. It was very scary, yet they weren't going to the hospital. So I did the best that I could, and I found a naturopathic physician who was open, who was willing to see Ms. Seaman. And we all went together as a collaboration to work together to see how we can get Regina help, which that visit was fruitful. That visit led to her being prescribed some blood pressure medicines. And that doctor then eventually led her to finally getting the help, seeing Dr. Knievel over at Arrow's Neuro Rehab. So I just want you to state, imagine the nervous system of somebody who hasn't slept for over a year. It was a challenging case. I did the best that I could. And this complaint is very lengthy. It was challenging to respond to it. I am an occupational therapist, and I am 3 years trained as a somatic experiencing practitioner. I've attended multiple advanced degrees on working with people in trauma, as well as attending the Trauma and Addiction Conference multiple years. And this patient had a severe trauma history and came to me, and there was the, you know, the complaint of me soliciting a review. Now, I want you to know that this couple came in Regina. They are massage therapists. They're very knowledgeable in the body. They're healthcare workers. And we joked, they're like, we've tried everything. We've been everywhere. Nothing's working. And I said, oh, well, I really feel that the work that I do, we can help you. I was very, very confident. But yet upon the first assessment, I had no idea the extent of her concerns or issues and her pain. She wasn't medicated. She really needed to be in a hospital. I made the recommendations. I went as far. And again, you have to remember, this is COVID, March 15th, 2020, when the world was shut down, when doctors, my primary care doctor, was not seeing patients. And I did the best that I could in the interest of the patient. And I'm sure there's more, and I will just allow you then to just ask your questions. But I do want you to know that I'm highly trained. I did the somatic experiencing 3 years with a top trauma therapist named Dr. Peter Levine. And if you've read or heard about a book, When the Body Keeps Score, that talks a lot about trauma and how it gets trapped in the body. And Regina not only had physical trauma with the motor vehicle accident, but she also had a lot of medical trauma with lack of trust for providers, because she had been through the mill and no one was listening to her. So I showed up in a time where we were all scared, hospitals were closed, doctors weren't seeing patients, and I did the best that I could because I really cared for her and the pain that she was going through. And it was quiet in my office, so I thought I had the time to help her. And I wanted to help her because I saw how much pain she was in. And it was horrible pain. I have never seen any patient in this amount of pain. So I'll let you ask your questions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Santioco. Questions from the board at this time?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have a question for Mr. Vandenbrink. Mr. Vandenbrink, do you agree that there was a partial refund of the money paid
yes.
to Ms. Antioco?
Yes.
Would you guys agree to terminate your relationship?
Yes, there was.
Okay. Were you satisfied with the refund?
No.
Could you explain more?
Sure. It didn't go far enough, especially when she admitted to manipulating my wife into becoming dependent on her. That was, for us, the straw that made us decide to follow up with a complaint.
Well, I was asking about the refund of your money. You said it didn't go far enough.
No, we actually wanted the remaining as well, because we have continued to suffer.
Ms. Antioco, would you address the refund issue? Did you provide what was asked for by your client?
I did. I provided a refund, a generous refund, and that was on May 20th. And the text and the abandonment and emotional manipulation were based on texts that were after the refund. So we were no longer under contract. And I did continue to engage in texts, but from May 28th through July 2nd or 4th, no, May 28th through June 4th, it was my brother's birthday, and we went on vacation up to Sedona in Oak Creek Canyon, and there was no Wi-Fi service, so I was not able to get back to her. And I never got to hear the outcome of her doctor. I really cared, and I wanted to see how she was doing. But I was away, had no cell phone service, and on May 20th, the contract was ended, and they were refunded their money. And then I don't feel I had to be obligated to reply to her. We weren't under contract, but I cared. So I did respond, but I could not respond when I was out of cell service for those many days. When those texts happened, that she felt abandoned.
Okay. I have one more question, Madam Chair, for Ms. Antioco. From a professional standpoint, do you feel like the lines got blurred when you terminated your working agreement but continued to stay in contact with the client, that it gave the appearance that you were still there for support and treating, even though you had officially terminated your relationship?
You know, I'd have to look back at the questions, but I didn't want to just drop her. I care about her, so I didn't want to just, as from a polyvagal-informed model, and that's a tricky concept, so I'd be happy to explain, that I was helping her as a co-regulator with her. She didn't have the capacity for self-regulation at the time, so I was providing co-regulation, and I was honoring the nervous system by not just cutting the cords, so to speak. But I also sent her on May 20th a beautiful list of suggestions. Above and beyond, I went to give her the next steps for her. So I don't feel like I blurred the lines, because I do that with all of my patients. I feel that's what makes me effective. I feel people heal when they are heard and when they feel safe. Okay? And I have another question. When they feel safe. So I didn't want to just cut the ties because her nervous system was so fragile. And it got worse when I could not respond because Oak Creek Canyon has terrible cell service. If you've been there, you know that. And I couldn't respond until probably June 3rd or 4th or 5th.
I have no other questions, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Marbs. I have a question for Mr. Vandenbrink. Regarding the statements you made that that you weren't given a clear enough explanation of the treatment and methods that your wife would be receiving. So I, for my clarification, I would just like to ask if Ms. Antioco provided a written copy of the plan and the goals that included the treatment methods she would be using?
No, I don't believe she did. Definitely not to the level of manipulation that was going on. She really made my wife, as Antioco said, co-regulating. We weren't looking for co-regulation. We were looking for physical therapy, not for a whole life coach. We, like she said, we are massage therapists. We are capable enough. We understand the body, but we are not proficient enough in certain areas. And for my wife, we were looking for specialized care. Ms. Antioco, she said, you can reach me day and night. Doesn't matter how many texts, doesn't matter. So my wife, in order to get a full experience and to get Ms. Antioco to get her to fully understand what was going on, we provided with a lot of information day and night whenever my wife was in pain. And my wife did as much as she could. She provided as much information. The part where Ms. Antioco said about blood pressure, we weren't measuring any blood pressures at that time. That was part of much later, so I'm not sure where she gets the 170 over 100 from. At the doctor's office, that was the first time where our doctor, for the first time, measured my wife's blood pressure and for the first time said, hey, we need to address this. That was not part of Ms. Antioco. She never took my wife's blood pressure. If she had, maybe she had noticed that, and maybe she had figured something else out. I don't know, but she didn't.
Okay, well, yeah. Thank you for the clarification on that. So, Ms. Antioco, let me go to you. After the evaluation you did on Ms. Seaman, was there anything in written form given to the client regarding your methods and the plan and the goals?
I believe that I gave them a list of what was included in the package that they purchased, and I sent her multiple training videos. I don't know the dates on all of them. The blood pressure was texted to me. Pictures of the blood pressure cuff were texted to me multiple times throughout the time we were working together.
So do I understand then that her blood pressure was taken regularly and then shared with you?
Yes, but this was not the initial session. So they were just like any patient coming to you. She had an extensive background, so we couldn't cover it in the first session. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think I saw her 2 days later. And we were just all on board, and we had to put the pieces together. She had complex trauma, complex injuries, including and I don't want to talk about her, you know, private history, but there were multiple areas of treatment and multiple surgeries that she's had. So there was a lot to cover in that first session. And truthfully, hindsight's 2020, she belonged in a hospital.
Thank you.
Okay. And that was like about, I've learned that probably about 2 weeks after treating and knowing her, getting to know her. It takes time to get to know a patient, especially with this level of complexity.
Thank you. I would like to follow up with Mr. Vandenbrink on another one of your concerns or that were in the complaint about inconsistency. So am I correct in understanding that therapy sessions were impacted by Ms. Seaman's level of pain and ability to tolerate therapy? And it looked like, too, that there were pauses when she was getting some other treatment from a physician. So was there a regular schedule, or how was that working?
There was no consistent planning. There was no, we go every Wednesday. It was, that was never made clear. And
That was always confusing what to expect, and I could never get the clarification that I needed to understand what to expect.
And we weren't seeing any other physician other than maybe a chiropractor, but we weren't, we were trying to find a different chiropractor as well, because we had no luck with them as well. And that was part of what Fedora kept telling us, that she would help us find the right people. Yet we've only met one, and that was towards the end of the relationship that we found the physician that she did recommend it, where she was present. But We're talking with the physician afterwards.
Fedra invited herself.
Okay. So Fedra invited herself, and later on we talked to the physician, and he was actually quite frustrated that she was there, because she kept interjecting and kept offering medical advice where he was like, it doesn't make sense, and he couldn't do his work.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is that there wasn't a regular therapy schedule.
No, there wasn't.
Okay, all right, so let me go back to Ms. Antiogo, and would you like to address that?
Yes, please. So I don't have the date when Regina had so much pain, and we later determined that when she laid flat, she would get an excruciating pain because the endocranial pressure, we now learned, would increase. So I would have to, sometimes we did have a 3-hour session, sometimes we only had an hour. She couldn't tolerate lying down. And I went so far as to say, hey, you know, she didn't like my music. Bring your own music. Bring your own speaker in. I did whatever I could to help her nervous system. I don't know the date that I helped her get into the doctor. Again, COVID. All the doctors, even general practitioners, were not seeing anyone. I called Dr. Van Drill. He agreed to see her. I don't feel I invited myself in. I was part of the team. We were all there, sitting in a circle, just having a group discussion. And I had known her so well because I've already been working with her, and I've heard her frustrations. I've heard her say, oh, I wish I could get a doctor to prescribe this medication. I can't find anyone. No one wants to see me. So I found the doctor, and it was in a group brainstorming session in the doctor's office where we looked at things. And that was a very fruitful visit because he determined she needed blood pressure medication. And she got them. And again, it wasn't perfect because she was still having ups and downs. It was very scary. It was scary for Regina, for Hank, and even myself seeing her suffer when she wasn't going to the hospital. So that night, that was the night I called Dignity Health. And I was trying to figure out, hey, can you do, you know, do you have a CT scan? Do you have an ultrasound? It's one of those satellite offices. You know, do you have all this equipment? And I gave Hank the information, including the address. I believe I texted it to him, and he didn't go. And it just kept escalating, and it was, I felt it was just a big pressure pot. And here I was in the middle of this, and I tried to do my best, and I kept encouraging taking her to a hospital. But again, COVID, and they wouldn't let husbands in. And it was not safe for Regina to go without her husband, in my opinion. So, Miss Seaman couldn't handle lying flat. I would try to prop the table. I'm open to seeing her whenever she wanted, sometimes even back to back, or stretching. As the person gets better, they can have more longer duration between the sessions. But I did everything I could in that session to keep her comfortable and safe, but she couldn't. She needed to be in the hospital. As we learned, she had high intracranial pressure, and I felt like, you know, just her brain was gonna, something's gonna happen.
Well, I'm gonna stop you there, Miss Antioco, because it answered my question about the regularity of sessions and such. So thank you for that. That's all the questions I have at this moment.
I actually have a couple questions. The first question is for Ms. Antioco. This is Dr. McAllister. I wanted to know what you were treating.
Oh, okay. Well, let me grab her. She had subdural hemorrhage from a motor vehicle. She was post, so I don't know how many years it was post. She had a prior history of a hysterectomy with pelvic pain, lumbar pain, brain injury, and severe neck pain. And she was, her lymphatic system was highly inflamed. She was puffy and retaining fluid and not really able to eat well. She just couldn't sleep. So I was trying to get her to feel safe in her body and to calm the nervous system down through cranial sacral and myofascial release. And I'm also trained many years as a trauma-informed occupational therapist. So I looked at that because her, you know, she just had a sense of unease. She was in fight or flight primarily. And my goal through the ventral vagal system, okay, that is, you know, our facial expressions, our looks, to get her to feel safe. They were new to Phoenix, didn't know anybody, and my job was to help co-regulate with her so her nervous system could settle, so that her muscles can settle and stop putting all the pressure on her bones.
Okay, and Mr. Excuse me if I pronounce this wrong, Vandenbroek?
No, you said that correctly.
Excellent. What were you guys looking for treatment for specifically?
Well, we were looking for physical therapy. We were looking for pain relief. We've been in Phoenix for about a year and a half, and due to Moai's history, no doctor, no GP would take on my wife's case. We even had a pain management doctor. We had some things in place. And we, as Ms. Antioco previously said, that we were looking for pain medication. That's not true. My wife doesn't do well on pain medication. She actually gets very sick from pain medication. So we're looking for holistic. We're looking for physical therapy. And that's why we came to her, because we couldn't find any other doctor. We actually had one doctor at the NOAA Center that told us, if you get disability insurance, then come back, because then we will be able to take you on. That was literally what he said, and that's what we did. And we ultimately got a GP through the NOAA Center. No other doctor, no other osteopathic doctor, no one wanted to take her, because they took a look at her and they said, oh, you're in pain, go see a psychiatrist. And that's how we ended up with Phaedra, because we were looking for physical relief, because we knew with Regina's body, with all the injuries, that we needed someone that was more specialized. But she kept exposing psychological traumas, and she kept going in on the psychological traumas, which we weren't looking for. We were looking for physical. And that was very confusing and very traumatic for my wife.
Thank you. I have no other questions at this time.
I have one more statement. There, she told me that she was the only one that could help me and was like trying to be very convincing of that.
And when we did find another therapist who also did fascial release, she was very damaging about him and made up all kinds of lies to not trust him.
And so I lost faith and trust in everything when it comes to treatment on both sides now, medical and the holistic. And I'm still suffering.
I have, Madam Chair, two more questions. So one for Mr. Vanderbrink. So I want to be sure I'm clear. So you all started a treatment plan that included multiple sessions, but you're saying that you started those, you went into an agreement without any schedule, like three times a week or two times a week or
that's correct.
Once a week. Okay.
There were suggestions, but no plan in place. No.
And you all did not request a specific plan?
Oh, no. I tried many times to get an understanding, and because for me, it's the structure is very important. So I definitely was seeking that.
Okay. And Mr. Vanderbrink, you stated multiple times that you all were seeking physical therapy?
That's correct.
Well, not the traditional physical therapy, but the pain relief, like that I needed the physical hands-on help, not the medication and not the psychological side of it, I guess. I wasn't seeking psychological assistance.
And Ms. Antioco, you are a licensed physical occupational therapist, correct?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, this is Chris Daly. Ms. Antioco, can you just outline your dates of service for me from the time of the initial evaluation onward?
Yes, the initial evaluation was on March 26th. And I refunded the money on May 20.
And how many treatment sessions did you provide?
Oh, I have to look that up.
Do you have any clinical documentation for those follow-up treatment sessions?
Yes.
We can provide those to you if the board would request.
And
I would like to just let you know, because I know the standard of care is, you know, you do the treatment plan 2 to 3 times a week. Instead, what I do is a longer duration in the session. And sometimes, as in Regina's case, she was highly inflamed. And sometimes people who are just like, their body's on fire, so when you touch them and you do manual therapy, they could get flared up. So I always had to gauge, well, how flared up is she going to get? How is she doing? Did she sleep that week? You know, there are many times where she did, from my treatments, get better sleep. She did have a lot of improvements. But they're also, so I work on more of a duration of length of time. And if they need it, I really cater to their nervous system. And if you need to get in sooner, let's do it. And if they couldn't make it in, I did offer virtual or to go to their home. And there were times where Mr. Vandenbrink asked me, hey, can you please look in on her? In my experience, we were a team and we were working together. And I, you know, we're all going into this complex case, as they said, you know, doctors didn't want to take their case. And I felt I had the tools, whether it's manual therapy, somatic experiencing, myofascial release, cranial sacral. And occupational therapists by nature do have a psych background. We take care of, we look at the psychological health of a person and help them find a balance between work, rest, and play. And all areas of her life were disrupted. And so I had to get her to even tolerate coming to the treatment room. That was a challenge for her. She was in a lot of pain.
And Miss Antioco, was there anything out of the ordinary the way you went about treating Miss Seaman as opposed to other clients? Was there anything that you can see that would have caused any concern for the client?
Well, let me think about this. She definitely presented as a case that I've never, like that severe of a case I've never dealt with before. And I've never dealt with, as all of us have, with COVID. And the fear around that, the scarcity around that, and, you know, couldn't get into the doctors at all. So I think we were all doing the best we could at that time. And that was March 15th when Governor Ducey shut down the state. And then I started her evaluation on just, you know, 10 days later, 11 days later.
Thank you.
She really needed the hospital. And if I could go back and change time, I would insist that. But they were not open to going to the hospital. And I also, I don't remember the name of the medication she had told me about. It could have been an anti-spasm, or it might not, they said it wasn't a pain pill. I really don't recall which one it was. But she had just felt like doctors weren't hearing her, and they couldn't find help here, what my impression was when I first met them. And I saw their pain, and I wanted nothing to do but to offer them help. And since I've been in the Valley for 15 years, I have a lot of resources, and I wanted to share it. And I'm grateful that I did send her to Dr. Vandriel, who did get her into Dr. Knievel. And I still don't know the outcome. I wish I did. But I know that I contributed to eventually getting her where she needed to be.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair,
yes.
I'd like to make a motion that we go into executive session to seek legal counsel.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. We'll go into executive session at 2:12 p.m.
Okay, everyone is back in.
Okay, we are back in regular session at 2:27 p.m. At this point, both participants here have given us a lot of information on what they saw, what they felt, what they wanted, and their perception of what was going on between that time in March. But we really don't have data documentation. So I myself am feeling like we don't have sufficient information at this time to go forward. And I would like to make a motion that we continue this investigative discussion and request, and you OTs are going to have to help me out, request the written, would they be therapy notes or reports? What would be the?
The complete medical record.
Okay, complete medical records. So that we have some written documentation to look at before we proceed any further.
This is Charlene Mark.
Okay.
I second.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Okay, that motion passes unanimously. So, Ms. Antioco, if you could get your written documentation sent to the board electronically, and so we have time to review it.
Yes, and this is Crystal Rivera speaking on behalf of...
Okay.
I just would like to ensure that the board does have the response letter with exhibits that was submitted on behalf of Ms. Antioco.
I believe we do. That was with screenshots of texts and things.
Yes, that's part of the board meeting
the
materials.
Initial consult letter in addition to...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Is there anything else that the board is requesting?
Board members?
I don't believe those are treatment notes. Dr. McAllister, Mr. Daly, would you chime in on this?
Yeah, that's correct. We're just the complete medical record with all clinical documentation.
Okay.
Something that would include, well, we have the evaluation, any progress reports or progress notes, daily sessions, regular sessions, whatever they would be called, that would be in Ms. Antioco's possession.
Thank you, Dr. McAllister. Do we have an expectation for a date? I didn't put within X number of days or anything in the motion.
Madam Chair, usually when we request documentation, we give at least 2 weeks.
That's fine. Okay. So, any questions or final comments before we move on?
We thank the board for its time and attention to this matter.
You're welcome. Okay, moving on to line item 682, a complaint against Jana Williams. Is Ms. Williams with us today? Don't think so. This was a complaint from Ms. Williams' former employer alleging improper billing. They initiated an investigation themselves after three patients voiced concerns related to not receiving OT services. The investigation reflects that via a phone call, Ms. Williams affirmed that she had provided the services to each of the patients of concern, but, quote, could not remember any details of their encounters. Documentation also included discrepancies as to whether Ms. Williams was at work during the times she reported providing the services in question. The conclusion of their internal investigation was that the allegations of improper billing were substantiated, as well as inaccurate reporting by Ms. Williams of her labor time. Ms. Williams' employment was terminated, and the billing was removed for the patients identified during the investigation. Ms. Williams did respond after receiving the complaint from board staff via email that she had, quote, no contest to the complaint and has retired.
in light of the information laid forth, I would make a motion to offer a consent agreement to surrender her license.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Before we move to a vote, can I ask, do we have to do findings of fact and conclusions of law for that, Mr. Larson?
Yes. The conclusion of law is ARS 32-34019Q, falsely claiming to have performed professional service, billing for a service not rendered, or charging or collecting an excessive fee for the services not performed.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Justin. Just to clarify, that's subsection 10Q.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Larson. 10.
I ran into the same issue because
okay.
It runs in the... And the factual basis for that is the, you know, basically the internal investigation, as well as the her admission that she does not contest the complaint. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you. So are we complete on that?
Oh, we need to...
Motion. We need to second.
Chris Daly seconded
I
that.
I second.
Okay. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
And Karen, just so you're aware, I'll be in touch with you about the drafting that consent agreement. I know the ones for voluntary surrender are a little bit different, so I'll help you out with that on the back end.
And we had one of those very recently, so it shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to line item 7, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. 7A1 is an initial application disclosure by Catherine Abram. This was regarding a misdemeanor DUI in 2006.
Has left the meeting.
Per board staff request, Ms. Abram did provide a Superior Court notice of destruction document and a letter from the Department of Highway Patrol verifying that the case documents on this matter were purged. Given that 16 years has passed since the conviction and that this was not a crime of moral turpitude, if there are no questions or concerns, I will make a motion at this time to approve the license of Catherine Abram.
Dr. McAllister,
this is Charlene Marks. I second.
Okay, Dr. McAllister got that one.
Yep. Okay. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marks.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. To line item 7A2.
Madam Chair, before we move on, I'm sorry to interrupt. Ms. Abrams, I'll approve your license after we hang up, and I don't know if you have a job that you need to get to soon or not. So the answer to that would determine whether we send you the license right now or we wait until we print the rest of them.
Oh, I don't need an immediate.
Okay.
You can take your time.
Okay.
Thank you.
My apologies, Ms. Skinner. I didn't know that you were on the call. Sorry. This is Miss Sarah. I mean, Miss Abram, not Miss.
Okay.
Sorry. It's Friday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, on to line item 7A2, which is an initial application to disclosures by Pamela Skinner. Ms. Skinner was convicted of a DUI in 1990 and a misdemeanor conviction in 2015 for operating a motor board. I think it was a motor boat while intoxicated. Ms. Skinner provided the board a court notice of completion of all conditions in the 2015 conviction, along with an order of discharge from probation. Did you want to make a comment, Ms. Skinner, or?
I was just letting you know I was present. I don't have any questions.
Okay. All right, so.
Do you have any questions for me?
I don't believe so. This also is not a crime of moral turpitude. So at this time, I will make a motion to approve the license of Pamela Skinner.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
Chris, all in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Now.
Okay, and Ms. Skinner, this is Karen Whiteford, the Executive Director. Do you need your license within the next few days, or are you still looking for a job?
No, that would be great, just whenever. And I appreciate all the work that you've done and Vicki's done on this.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, line item 7B1, Laura Koch. It's a license renewal disclosure. In May 2020, Ms. Koch was arrested and pled guilty to a Class 1 misdemeanor DUI. She has provided the board with court documents that verify that all court-ordered mandates were successfully completed, and this matter was closed in July of 2021. Ms. Koch, do you have anything to add or comment?
No, thank you all for being here today. And I just want to thank Vicki for coordinating all my information and all of you for being here to attend to this situation. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome. If there is no further discussion or any discussion on this item, is there a motion?
Sorry to interrupt. I do have a question. Was this disclosed at the time of the incident to the board?
Yes. I'm sorry. You're asking her for the time frame. I apologize.
No. I'm asking either you or Karen if it was disclosed at the time it happened to us.
No, Dr. McAllister, it was, she was unaware of the time frame. Yes, it's not in our statutes and rules. It's just that overall health of disclosing. She went, when talking with her, she was unaware of having to disclose it within the time frame. She disclosed it when she sent in her renewal application.
I can speak. Was that Dr. McAllister?
Correct.
Oh, okay. I appreciate your question. And yes, it's a little embarrassing now, but at the time, I had to wait about 6 months for my BAC because it was COVID, and they took my blood, and everything was delayed. So when I found out, my attorney informed me that I needed to be fingerprinted within like 3 days, and my working knowledge at the moment was that when I became fingerprinted, and I know this may sound silly now, but the systems would coordinate. Specifically, I speak to the Department of Public Safety. who did reissue me a modified, I'll say, fingerprint card within 4 days. And my understanding, although now I realize it was not accurate, was that your organizations would communicate with each other. And my apologies. Not understanding the reporting time frame.
I feel like we've been pretty consistent with doing a letter of concern, which is non-disciplinary action, and so I would open that up to the board members on their thoughts.
I agree, Dr. McAllister, with your recommendation. I don't know if I need to second, if it was a motion.
It was not a motion at the time.
It was not a motion.
Part of discussion.
Okay. I agree that we've been consistent on this matter because we've seen it before in past cases.
So, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is the context of this is the consideration of the renewal application. So the board will have to make essentially, you'll have to deal with the renewal application itself. You'll have to take action on whether you want to grant the renewal or approve the renewal application. And with regard to the non-disciplinary letter of concern, the board will have to vote to first open a complaint regarding failure to disclose the criminal charge within 10 days pursuant to ARS 32-3208. And then vote to issue a letter of concern if that's what the board would like to do.
Correct. I just wanted to make sure I was putting the right initial motion forward.
So, we'll have to do essentially two motions. One would be to approve the renewal application, and the other would be to open a complaint regarding the failure to disclose and the and then issue a letter of concern based on that.
This is Charlene Marks. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the renewal application.
I will second that motion. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
I would like to make a second motion, Madam Chair, that we open a complaint based on AR 32-3208. And issue a letter of concern regarding the non-disclosure within the stated time frame.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, Ms. Koch, this is Karen Whiteford, the executive director again. The board voted to issue a letter of concern, which is a non-disciplinary action, so it's not something that's going to show up in our database, and it will only be on your record for, I believe, 5 years.
Okay, I appreciate that, Karen. Thank you. I do have a question, I am working for Dignity Health, and I have been, Vicki provided me with a letter of extension to practice. It does expire on the 15th, which is Tuesday, And I was wondering, I need to download it because of the system. Some of you might be aware of Dignity Health. They're quite taxing in mm-hmm. terms of procedural events. So would it be possible for me to get a copy or electronically of my license to practice today, therefore I can return to work and upload it?
Vicki, will you be able to do that?
Join the meeting.
Yeah, I'll get it to her by tonight.
Okay, thank you.
That would be wonderful, Vicki.
Thank you, Vicki.
I greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Is there anything further I need to do in regards to the non-disciplinary notice? I guess what I'm saying is I'm unfamiliar with this. I'm unfamiliar with this complaint.
No, there's nothing you need to do, but then you'll remember, right? If anything else goes awry in life.
Besides the obvious. Right.
Yeah.
10-day disclosure. Okay. I appreciate you all so much. Thank you so much.
Okay. Best of luck to you.
Okay. Likewise. And I hope you have a nice weekend, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Oh, thank you. Laura Koch
has left the meeting.
It always just pulls me up short when you hear that voice coming.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it looks like Quentin McAllister just left the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, so
I'm still on via phone.
Oh, okay.
Oh, all right. So we're moving on down to line item 8A. And I make a motion that the board ratify the 43 initial applications for licensure approved by the executive director. Do I have a second?
Rufus,
this is Charlene. Second.
I'm going to give that one to Charlene.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Quentin McAllister.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Aye.
Oh. Okay. All right. For line item B, walk me through it now how I...
Dr. McAllister is recused from this item.
Okay. That works then. So I would like to make a motion that the board ratify the 216 renewal reinstatement license applications that were approved by the executive director. There is a second.
Chris Daly, I second the motion.
All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister is recused.
Passes with three verifications and one recusal. Okay, moving on to line item 9.
Okay, Madam Chair, item 9 and 10 actually can be talked about together. First, 9 is the review, consideration, and possible action regarding out-of-state registration rulemaking in response to passage of House Bill 2454. We do have to promulgate rules to support out-of-state registration, but I was waiting until the fingerprinting clearance card process is approved by the FBI, and that is item number 10, review, consideration, and possible action update on rulemaking in response to passage of House Bill 2585. I actually was just looking at the Physical Therapy Board's rules to see where the fingerprint clearance card falls in theirs, and I'm not seeing it, so it may be that I don't have to wait. So I will look into that, and my plan was to draft the rules anyway before I leave, So I will look into that, and I will communicate that either through Vicki at the next meeting, or possibly I could be at the next meeting. I'm not sure. I'll have to check with my new supervisor.
Okay. Sounds good. Be nice to move forward on some of these things, right?
Yes. Madam Chair, if you don't mind, could we move the agenda items around a bit? Because I know Dr. McAllister has an appointment, and we have two items, one that he specifically requested and one that he really should participate in, and those would be number 12 and number 16.
Okay, that's fine with me. Is Dr. McAllister still with us?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So let's go to item 16. And I will make a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel matters. Is there a
this
second?
This is Charlene Mark.
Okay. All in favor?
Barbara Paulson?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Quentin McAllister?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. We will head into executive session at 2:56 p.m.
And Madam Chair, members of the board, I don't believe I need to be included in that executive session, but you know, if you need me for anything, please just let me know and I can come in.
Okay,
well,
thank
you're
you.
Always welcome, but yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. What was the time again, Ms. Paulson?
2:56.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. All right, everyone is back in, and we are recording.
Okay, we are back in regular session at 3:04 p.m. Now I have to figure out where we are. Are we on...
Well...
11? Or, oh, 12?
Oh.
Okay, so we're on number 12?
Was that the other item that you wanted me involved in?
Well, so number 12 is the review, discussion, and possible action on process for hiring a new executive director. So I don't know if you want to be involved in that discussion, or if you'd rather be involved in the discussion on number 11, which is related to the statement on the website. But either way, you've got to go.
Yeah. I do need to go, unfortunately. I'm where I need to be, and I'm already late. I'll just find out what happened in the minutes or next meeting.
Okay, Quentin.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
And I'll see everybody next month.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, is it possible for us to table that discussion to the next meeting, or we have to have it at this time?
Are you talking about line item 12?
Yes.
There might be time constraints on this. Is that what I'm thinking?
Well, you know, it can be tabled, but the sooner we act on this, the sooner you'll have another executive director.
Okay.
And Karen, this is Justin. Out of curiosity, were you able to get a representative from ADOA to be on the meeting to answer questions about, you know, the different processes the board can take?
Yes, we have Sean O'Connell. I think that's your last name on the call.
McConnell, MCC.
Okay.
No, that's okay. I go by anything.
I thought maybe it was one of my relatives. My mother was an O'Connell, but not McConnell.
Oh, okay. Well, close enough.
Close enough. Okay.
And, you know, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is Justin, and I just wanted to, you know, I mean, if anyone does feel that Mr. McAllister or Dr. McAllister needs to be, you know, part of this discussion and decision, then, you know, the board can always hold a special meeting at some point in the coming weeks to make that decision.
That's true.
That's a good point. I would be okay with a special meeting. But I have a freer schedule than some of the other board members, for sure.
Could we initiate it today and then schedule that if required?
Charlene Marr
has left the meeting.
I'm sorry, my phone disconnected. I'm here.
You sound like you're here.
If that question was for me, I mean, that's entirely up to the board. You can, you know, start the discussion now. And since the, you know, the representative from AUA is here, you know, I think he can give the board guidance as to what options. And then the board could, you know, schedule a special meeting to make the actual decision at a later time.
I like that idea. Is the rest of board members good with that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So do we turn it over to Mr. McConnell or to help us walk this path?
Yes. I'm just here, like I said, to explain the process of hiring an informed board and the new executive director and just, you know, any way I can, any questions throughout the process, just to facilitate it and make it go smooth.
Great.
So, okay, I'll just start with, okay, it looks like we're going to do a competitive hire. There's two ways of hiring an executive director. One is by direct hire, and that would be if the board members, you know, knew of someone that they're like, hey, you know, this person can you know, just, you know, grab the ball and run with it, and, you know, he or she is going to be a great, you know, an asset. We can just do a direct hire. And with that, we simply submit his name or her name to the board with a start date and agreed upon salary, and I submit that to the governor's office. And they come back yay or nay. Usually they come back within like 4 or 5 days. And then from there, I just push a hire and go on with the onboarding. The next route is a competitive hire, which I will post the position. We'll gather resumes, and then we will submit them resumes to the board. Where they can actually say, hey, we want to interview these 5 people, for instance. And then after interviewing those 5 people, come up with a candidate, extend an offer. If the offer is agreed upon, same thing, I would submit that to the governor's office for approval. So it's pretty easy process either way. It just matters what the board would like to do.
Well, that sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it is. The biggest things with the executive or the E-Series is the time. Usually, take for instance, I just hired 2 executive levels, and both of them took, oh, like 3.5 months. It was, you know, we don't want to do that. And I think that just has to do, I mean, also has to do with the board members just meeting and coming up with a decision you guys, board members, only meet pretty much, what, like once a month or once every so often. So I think that the board members were too interested in just, you know, meeting for an hour here or an hour there in between, and they just stuck with theirs, hey, let's just meet, you know, at our time. You know, so that's what, you know, just dragged it out for 3.5-4 months. And then, of course, by that time, you got, you know, applicants that are like, who are you again? Well, I applied for that 3 months ago. I got the job, you know. So that's where we run into that as well. So that's, like I said, that's why it can get lengthy in the process. But the process in general is pretty cut and dry. And pretty easy, if you ask me.
Sean, when the board interviews, and then is it a recommendation from the board, and there's going to be someone else interviewing this person, or would that be the person that would be offered the job?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you kind of state that again?
Okay, so the board looks at the resumes, and then we interview, say, five people, and we come up with one that is just got to have this person. So is that a recommendation to ADOA, or?
No. No. Okay. And I'm sorry for talking over you. No, actually, ADOA, I mean, we don't have anything to do with it. We don't approve. We could voice our opinion. You know, say, for instance, if you want to hire someone and you say we're going to pay them, you know, $300,000, yeah, ADOA is going to step in and be like, eh, do you really think that's wise? You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, ADOA doesn't approve or disprove anything. We just, you know, give our input if needed. You know, and in this case, I mean, ADOA is not going to get involved at all, you know. So it's not a recommendation. In answer to your question, it's not a recommendation. If the board interviews five people and all of a sudden they say, hey, we want to hire Jamie, you know, all they have to do is make an offer, a verbal offer, nothing signed, a verbal offer, and then I take that information and run it off the flagpole to the governor's office. They, like I said, come back with their verdict, and that's it. We just move on to the hire. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
So, like I said, it can be pretty cut and dry. You know, like I said, if we interview and then we. You know, and I'm just using words, you know, if we pull the trigger on this candidate, you know, boom, it's, like I said, it's a pretty easy and dry process.
One more question. Usually there's a salary range for a position, so does the board have any power to specify a certain salary, or?
Well, and what I can do, and that's a good question, what I can do is I can give you the range. I'll find out which, if it's an E1, E2, whatever the grade is, and then I can send the pay range, both the hourly and salary. I can send the min, mid, and max for each one. And that way the board members can come up with, okay, we're going to offer this much, you know. And they can also look at the outgoing ED, what they were paying him or her, and, you know, that's how they will come up with a salary.
Okay, thank you. Clarifies that.
Mm-hmm. And as long as it's in that range, you know, then it's, like I said, the governor's office is pretty, you know, realistic. They're not going to really ask too many questions, you know.
Charlene or Chris, you have any questions?
Not at this time.
I have a question, Sean.
Okay.
So I have the position description that I need to modify based, it's from a different agency. So I need to submit that to Shared Services. Now I have to remember what my question was.
You can send that to Rachel, and I'll feel free, please, CC me on everything. Right. That way I'm kept in the loop. That way if anyone's dragging feet, like on my team, I can kind of, you know, ruffle some feathers, if you will.
Okay, and then is it okay to post the position before the board has come up with a strategy for their hiring process?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay.
We can do that. And that way we're ahead of the game, and we can start collecting resumes and not just wait on the board and look back and, oh, we wasted 2 weeks. No, I said we go ahead and get it to Rachel, get it approved, and get it posted.
Okay, sounds good.
And I have a question. So, Karen, and you can tell me how you want to do it, because I look at it. I work for you guys, you know, so anything you need from me or of me, you know, you guys let me know. But, so, Karen, when I post the position, I will receive the resumes, and I will send them to you, okay? And then do you want to send them to the board members, or do you want to give me the board members' emails, and I can, you know, once the position closes, I can send out the resumes to the board members. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it might be best to have the board members receive the resumes.
Okay.
Yeah, just one less thing
you have to do,
Karen.
and like I said, Karen, the reason I asked that is every board's different. Every board's like, some boards are like, Sean, don't touch anything and send me every, you know, and I'm like, okay, whatever. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure, you know, we're on the same sheet music.
Okay.
And usually we post the position. Again, it's up to your discretion. I'll post it for 2 weeks, post it for 3 weeks, whatever the case may be. I recommend posting it for two weeks exactly. And then from there, if 2 weeks goes and we only got 4 resumes, of course we're gonna, you know, hey, go ahead and extend it, you know, for 2 weeks or whatever. But I don't see that. I'd say if we post it for 2 weeks, I'd see us getting a pretty fair, you know, 20 plus, 25, 30 nice resumes, you know.
That was going to be my question, Sean, how long to post. And clarify, is this an internal and external posting?
Again, I can post it internal and external, or I can just post it internal, or, you know, or external only. What, again, and that's a great question, what I would recommend, and I mean, it's totally up to you guys, we can post it internal for a week, you know, 2 weeks, whatever, and then whatever time frame, and then we can go from there and be like, hey, we got a substantial amount of resumes. Let's do this. Let's go through these first, and then open it up to external. So there's some flexibility.
Can you do it simultaneously, or just post it as an external, but then internal can apply, right?
I'm sorry, if I post the external, good question. Now, even if I did post it external, an internal person still can apply.
Right.
Because
if I
post the external, it's going to go to acstjobs.gov, blah, blah, blah. And, I mean, anyone, even if they're a state employee, they can go there, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's what I was thinking, but I wanted to make sure that's the way it worked. But.
Got it. Now, but what we encourage is that, you know, if you're internal and you work for the state, that you don't go to AZ State Jobs. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for other opportunities, that you stay internal and go through your individual portal. But not everyone complies, if you will.
Okay.
You know.
So let me clarify again. So if it went in internal, that would be for 2 weeks, and then it would expand to external after the 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, we can do that, or I can set it for internal, and we can say, hey, do internal posting for 3 days, 8 days, 12 days, whatever we want. We have that flexibility.
Okay,
for the record, Charlene had to leave the call at 3:23.
Thank you.
Got it.
We're getting down to the bare bones here.
No, we don't have.
Oh.
We don't have a quorum now.
No, we don't.
We don't.
And I also, Karen, I believe... I sent some questions that if the board wanted to, like I said, if they wanted to take a look at those lists of questions, interview questions.
Yeah.
Like I said, they can come up with their own. If someone else says, you know, Sean, I don't like those. I got 10 or 12, whatever, 20 questions myself. And as long as the board members ask the same questions to all of the applicants.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
To stop the meeting.
Okay. Yes. All right. Thank you, Sean, for all the information.
Yeah. Great information. Thank you, Sean.
Okay. Like I said, I'm here, so just email me, give me a call. And like I said, my job is to make it as less stressful as I can.
We appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem. Should I drop off, or is there any more questions?
We actually have to end the meeting, Sean, because we don't have a quorum anymore.
Okay, that's cool.
So thank you.
Okay, so thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay.
All
right.
Adjourn the meeting.
Sean.
So Barbie,
have
you
left
need to adjourn.
Meeting.
I'm sorry. Are we going to adjourn right now?
We have to.
Yeah, we know I have a quorum, so.
Okay. I mean, we can't even put any agenda items on for now. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think this has ever happened before. To me. Okay. At this time, it looks like the board has no further business they will be conducting. So I will adjourn the meeting at 3:26 p.m.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Have a great weekend.
Yes, you as well.
Yeah,
and we'll see you
as well.
Next month.
Turn off the recorder.